Please have a seat. What is a Maundy Thursday anyway? When I was a kid, I thought people were saying Monday Thursday. So is this like a day that's not quite Monday, but not quite Thursday either? Is it like somewhere in between? But wouldn't that just be Tuesday or Wednesday? Or worse yet, what if it's a Thursday that feels like a Monday? Can you imagine waking up this morning and it feels like Monday? That would be the worst feeling ever. Because Thursdays are supposed to feel like Fridays, right? I mean, they're definitely leaning toward the weekend, or at very least, they're on the other side of the hump. Well, the word Maundy actually comes from the Latin mandatum, which means commandment or mandate. And it refers to the new commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples on that first Maundy Thursday, on the night that he was betrayed and took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples. In John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." But what's so new about that? Jesus' summary of the law was based on Deuteronomy, which the people of Israel had been observing for over 1,000 years. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Doesn't seem very new, but notice that Jesus goes on to say in verse 34 that you love one another just as I have loved you, or in the same way that I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now that is new. You see, it's no longer just okay to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You now must love one another in the same way that Jesus loved you. That's a whole new standard and a whole new example to follow. And if you think about it, that's actually a pretty tall order. Remember, Jesus just got down on his hands and knees with a basin and a towel and washed his disciples' dirty, smelly feet. Should the one they call Lord really be doing servant's work? Peter doesn't think so. "Lord, do you wash my feet? You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus is insistent that unless he humbles himself, unless he sacrifices himself, unless he serves them and washes them, they have no share with him. And even more surprisingly, perhaps, he tells them that they must do the same. For a servant is not greater than his master. They must love one another in the same way that he's loved them. And let's just be honest here. This is true even if they don't really like each other and have been competing for his love and attention all along. But you see, their selfless, sacrificial love for one another is even more important because Jesus is going away for a while. He knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. In fact, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Jesus has known this for a while. Ever since he raised Lazarus from the dead and the religious leaders decided he must die, he's been racing headlong towards the events of Holy Week. The triumphal entry, which we celebrated this past Sunday, the Last Supper and the foot washing, which we commemorate tonight, his betrayal by Judas tonight as well, his arrest, his denial by Peter, his questioning before the religious leaders, his trial before Pilate, and ultimately his crucifixion and his death. But he's not leaving them alone. He's not leaving them abandoned or uncared for. they will love each other the same way that he's loved them all along. You see, his love remains with them through them. Have you ever thought of your brother or sister's selfless love or sacrificial act as coming from Jesus himself directly? But there are two other ways on this first Maundy Thursday that Jesus makes sure his disciples are cared for while he's away temporarily. Jesus' foot washing and new commandment, remember, all come in the context of the Last Supper. You see, even though Jesus is going away, he's leaving them his real presence in the bread and the wine. He's leaving them his body and blood. And he's going to nourish them with this family meal he provides, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. And later on that same night, as Jesus continues what many have called the farewell discourse, he also promises that the Father will send them the Holy Spirit in his name and tells them that the Spirit will dwell with them and in them forever, and that the Spirit will teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all that he's said. In fact, it's in this context that Jesus tells them that he will not leave them as orphans and will come back to them. And of course, all these things come to even greater fruition once Jesus is raised, when he breathes on them to receive the Holy Spirit on Easter evening, perhaps looking back to the time when God breathed his Spirit into Adam's nostrils, and looking forward to Pentecost when he will baptize them, fully immerse them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Or these things will come to even greater fruition right before his ascension when he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Or when St. Paul, recalling the events of this night, quotes Jesus saying, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." You see, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And we do look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But in the meantime, he has not left us as orphans. He has not abandoned us, for he loves us through us. He is present and he feeds us with his most precious body and blood. And he teaches us and dwells with us and brings to remembrance all the things he said to us by way of his Holy Spirit. What more can we ask for? Amen.